Okay, we're up to Pasuk, Pasuk Yud. Okay, Pasuk Yud. Maybe before we do Pasuk, I'll just tell you one other quick medrash. Pasuk, task. Ki liv yaschein hein lura shecha, v'anakim l'gagra shecha. Torah, chachma, musar is a liv yaschein. It's something which accompanies you. It is a graceful companion for your head. And the Gemara makes there's a medrash in Dvarim Rab. The medrash says that wherever you go, you can't escape from a mitzvah. Wherever you go, you will be confronted with an opportunity to do a mitzvah. For example, I'll read you the whole medrash. Malav yaschenam rapinchas barchama luchamokam shetelech hamitzvah smelavis oischa. Wherever you travel, a mitzvah will accompany you. Ki sivne bayis chadash. If you build a bayis, so you right away confronted with the mitzvah opportunity of to make a maika. Then you have a mitzvah of uchsavtam al mezuzah space sechirshim. There's a big machlokes. If you chayv in a mezuzah on a door, on a place where there's no door, from the medrash smash, we have to have a door. Let's say you have an opening. Many people have openings in their homes all over the place, and there's a mezuzah and there's a mashkoif, but there's no delas attached. Only if you get an arch, beside just an opening.
A doorway
without a door attached. It's very, very common. It's probably more common, more openings, entranceway. Halacha levaisa, we paskin that you mechuyv in a mezuzah, you are mechuyv. The Rambam, interestingly, paskin that you potter. The Rambam holds you not chayv in a mezuzah unless you mamish have a door. They want this of Chaim Soloveitchik. He was the Rav in Brisk, and he was known to be an incredible Baal Chesed. The Chesed was on the level of absurdity. What he did, people would just walk in and live, and people, the stories are just off the charts. He would borrow his Svarim, they would never return it. So someone once said to him, Rebbe, what do you need the book is for? Everyone already took it all your Svarim. So he goes, you're right. If that's the case, I'll take the bookcase. Someone came and they asked. So someone said to him, there's so much chesed people, they come into your home nonstop. Why do you need the door on your home? What's the purpose? Everyone is in and out the whole day. So he says, you're right, I don't need the door. The only reason why I have a door is because Lefi the Rambam, now the Brisk is where we're into the Rambam, Lefi the Rambam, you're not chayvin a mezuzah unless you have a delus. So that's why I have a door.
Very interesting. Because I went to visit the Weitzman house in Rehovot.
Yeah.
And there's only one mezuzah on the front door.
And all of the doors have mezuzahs?
So I asked the guy, so he says he came from Bialystok. They were very rich. In Bialystok there were a lot of poor people. The poor people only had mezuzahs in the front door. And the Ashirim made a takana that they didn't want to embarrass the poor people.
They also only had.
Ashirim didn't have one
mezuzah. Very interesting. Very interesting.
So it's also Indian that we were talking about last week about Minna, but a lot of Minig is stronger than Halacha.
Meaning vatal halacha. There's a whole shiloh, to what degree, I don't know the details, but there's a whole shiloh in Hatorah, to what degree, good morning, are you chayv to, how many mezuzah are you actually chayv to have?
I'm talking about chalitza. Chalitza is also a sinner where minig is vatal halacha.
Because that's the classic case. If Eliyahu will come and tell us to change from a san to a nal, vice versa, ein shemin lo, kif shekvar no hagu ha'am. It's already accepted practice. The minig is vatal halacha. Okay, another example you have over here, just my point is that derech agav, over here you see from this medrash, the medrash is much like the Rambam. The Rambam says that you only have to have a mezuzah if you have a door, because it says over here in Perish in the medrash, imosis l'chodeles. If you make for yourself a deles, now you can mekayim what it says in this pasuk of liv yaschein. Now you can have a mitzvah. It doesn't say over here in the pasuk in the medrash that if you go and you'll make for yourself a mezuzah, a doorpost, a mashkoif. So right, the sheet of the Rambam, at least from medrash, you can't even write from a medrash. I mean, that's a discussion in and of itself. To how far do we take midrashim seriously to use them as sources for inyanei halacha? Classic example is Tcheles. 90% of the rayos that the Miurics that is today used to is very popular as being the Tcheles comes from Midrashim. And some of the Bali Halach object that you can't use the Midrashim as rayos for Halacha something the car for tchelas. Okay, another example goes levash kelim chadashim. If you buy new garments, you dress yourself in new garments. Hamitzvah lamas eschosh nemar lo still ba shatnes. So now you have an opportunity to be kindness of shatnes. Emolachta legaleach. If you go and you if you go to the barber, you have a mitzvah. Lo yisakiv upas reishchem. Emohay lechasad. If you lachta lachvish b'seicha, you have a mitzvah lesachvish shar b'chamor yachtov. Im zoratov, you plant. Lo yisilzer karmichol kiloyim. Im gotzaratov, you harvest. You have a mitzvah lesitzer kitzircha. You have a shikha, a peya, a shikha and peya. Okay, so wherever you go, Amar Kadosh Baruch Hu, Afilo Yisa Isik B'Davar Ela Mehalach B'Derech. Even if you're not doing it, you do nothing. All you're doing is you're walking in the street. You're not even doing a mitzvah. You also will have an opportunity to do a mitzvah. This week's parasha, it says, HaMitzvah Smlava Yischa Minayin Shnemar Ki Yikorei Kan Tzipor Lefonecha. Wherever you go, there'll be, even if you walk by, you just happen to meet up a Kan Tzipor, a nest of a bird, of birds. You have to send away the mud. Obviously, all these psukim are from this week's parsha. This entire medrash is taken out of this week's parsha, Parshas Kiseitse. He's trying to connect the pasuk here in Mishlei, in the medrash of Livyaschin Hein Liroy Shecha, to what it says in the parsha. Okay, let's now go to the next pasuk. Pasuk is Bini. Now we start now with a series of psukim, starting with pasuk Yud, Yud Aleph, Yud Beis, Yud Gimel, a couple of psukim. Shlomo advises a person to stay away from evildoers, and then he concludes, but instead you shall attach yourself to tzaddikim. The Mefarshim point out that what Shlomo here is doing parallels what David did in the very first Mizmar in Sefer Tehillim. How does Sefer Tehillim begin? Where David says, stay away from the tzaddikim. Let me read you the Mizmar, first Mizmar, just to give you an idea, to show you the parallel between what we're going to have here and what it says. Okay, it starts off, fortunate is a person that stays away from the counsel of the Rishonim. We're staying away. Then it goes, but instead, so we go first, we first reject the Rishonim, and then we embrace the tzaddikim. So that idea is being conveyed here in the next few psukim as well. We're going to reject the Rishonim, we're going to embrace the tzaddikim. And this idea, I mean, this is the pasuk of Sur Meira Va'asei Tov. It says in the pasuk, you shall separate from Ra. First, Sur Meira Va'asei Tov. However, we don't always practically follow. That is the ideal. In idealistic society, you would first separate yourself from Ra, and then Asei Tov. Halacha L'maisa, that's not the way we live. We live today where a person finds himself, he's not holding where he should, he's not with the program, so the first thing is just first do good. First go to shul, make believe you're a good person, and then you'll work on separating yourself from your evil connections. Here, what does it say on the back of your shirt? What does it say on the back of your shirt? Oh,
please.
Raise the stakes.
Raise the stake? Yeah, they got a steakhouse. All the
time I thought there was something very profound.
You have to do a good thing. It takes the kids who are off the dirt and it gives them a place to hang out. With
okay.
Where she used to be.
Sur Meirav HaSeitov, the classic example to show that we don't follow this practical application is first comes Rosh Hashanah and then comes Yom Kippur. What is Rosh Hashanah? It's HaSeitov. Connect yourself to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's a Yom Tif. Enjoy yourself. Celebrate. Then comes Yom Kippur. Then is Sur Meirav, is to do tshuva and separate from evil. So even though ideally it would be better to first remove yourself from Ra and then be ready to embrace the Toif, Halacha L'maisa, we're not always on that level. Sometimes the technique has to be Asei Tov and then Sur Meirav. But here it says in the Pasuk, here we're going to go into that theme with all different examples of staying away from Ra. Bini, Pasuk Yud, Im Yifatucha Chato'im, if sinners entice you, they attempt to, they ask of you to join them in Avera, Al Tovei. Tove means do not go. Tove Tirtze, the Metzudas David says, well, there are two different translations really. In the Metzudas David it says, Al Tirtze, do not want. Ki lo yoyve Hashem seloach lo. Hashem will not want to forgive you. But in the Metzudas Tzion, he has a more precise translation of Ratzon. Inyan Ratzon, do not want. Do not want. And that, I guess, I'm sorry, it's the same thing. Okay, lo yovo yivami lekachta my yivami my this week's parsha. My yavam does not want to. Thank you very much. My yavam does not want to take me. Good morning. Good morning. How are you? So do not want. So again, one time. B'nim yeftucha chatoim al tovei. If evildoers, the chatoim, they entice you, they attempt to persuade you to join them in doing averos, al tovei, do not want, do not go with them, do not listen to them. Okay, let's see Rashi, let's see the Metzudas first pasuk yud, im yifatucha, leleches achar datam, after their beliefs, al tovei, al tirtze, Rashi, pasuk yud, bini, chatoim, choitim, chatoim means sinners. Okay, it's a borrowed term because chatoim really means sins, and we're not using it here in the context of sins. Here we're using it in the form of sinners. Mid haaretz. Excellent. Another example. It's not used in its literal sense. Al tovei lohem, do not want to listen to them. I saw one of the farshim, it said this, teaching you a very important lesson, don't even engage, don't debate them. Okay, I'll just give you an example, there's a very big controversy, it still is, if we should engage in a dialogue with reform, conservative, people of Christian faith, Muslim, what is the proper place for Orthodox Jews, Orthodox Rabbanim, to publicly debate them and engage in dialogue, or to join forces with them in different political goals. So this is very, very big, the tough, this is a very big debate. Rav Soloveitchik had an opinion on this, Rav Moshe Feinstein had a very different opinion around color. Okay, so here it says in the pasuk, don't want. Okay, it's not really clear. You can probably read into the pasuk whatever you want, I would imagine. Don't want. What does it mean don't want? But I saw one of the commentators say it means don't engage, period. A choite, a person who is a choite, and I'm not coming to say reform or conservative, a choitim, there's many categories of tinuk shenishba. I mean, there are different madregos, obviously, but let's here deal with what it says in this pasuk. It's very explicit. A person that is a sinner. Let us assume it is premeditated sin. That's called a sinner for sure. We don't have to go into subcategories of tinuk shenishba, people that are sinning inadvertently. But a premeditated sinner, don't engage. Don't even deal with them. Don't enter into any discussion. Completely stay away from them. Okay, you're getting a good point. You should yourself. You should know. You should know what they. But don't have to answer him. Good point. Okay. Okay. I don't. It requires more elaboration. What exactly this expression? Al tovei, do not want. Do not want. At least in your mind, you should not want to have anything to do with a desire to participate with the choitim. Pasuk Yud Aleph, im yomer lo l'choitan. Let's see now he elaborates. Let us say, the sinner says to you, l'choitan, who come with us, ne'erva l'dam, let us lie in ambush to commit murder. Nitzpina, let us hide, to l'naki chinam, l'naki, to seize upon, to ambush the innocent person, chinam, for no reason. Chinam is part of the verb. We're going to come upon him. Right, we're going to come upon this person chinam for no purpose. He's a naki. Let us lie in ambush. Let's wait in order to take his life. Whenever it says here the pasuk ladam, ladam means here the evildoers are trying to persuade a tzaddik to join them in order to murder an innocent person. Let's see the mitzvah. This pasuk in aleph, ladam lishbaichdam, murder nitzbina. Nitzvina parallels the word ne'erva, to lie in ambush. Nistar le'arov al damnak, he let us hide to lie in ambush. He's putting the two words together. Al damnaki, for it to spill innocent blood. Lish bechina, to pour his blood for no reason. He did not commit a crime. Alay chamas bekapo. This person has not done any harm, has not committed any crime, any theft. V'chofel hadava b'miloy shaynos kederech hamalitza ulehasmoda sapitui, and to intensify the enticement that the Rasha is trying to accomplish with this tzaddik. Now, before we go further, one interesting point, that later we're going to make mention of arayos. Okay, the first sin that it's mentioned here is murder. And this, the commentators point out, parallels what it says in the Aseres HaDibros. The Aseres HaDibros first comes Lo Sirtzach, and then comes Lo Tinaf. Okay, it could be this a Gro, it's either a Gro or a Bina Yoyin, I don't remember, but one of the major commentators explains is that there are really two forms of sin. Every single sin that a person commits can be put into one of two categories: Kas, anger, or lust, Taiva. Even the Chazal say, maybe they are Kina, HaTaiva, VeHaKavod, might sin as other than Olam. It's a different category, the different ways to categorize sin. But at least in this, from this perspective, there are two major categories of sin: anger. Murder is an outgrowth of anger, and the other sin is taiva, desire, arayos, eshesish, adultery. That comes from a person's inability to control his desires. In the Aseres HaDibros, the order is significant. First comes Lo Sirtzach, then comes Lo Tinaf, to indicate that it's a much greater sin, or it's a much more dangerous sin than Midah of Kas. That comes first. That appears to be what is primary. Here as well, the first thing which Shlomo is warning his listeners, his followers, his bini, my son, is stay away from kas, from anger. The asir kas melibucho, we have that in fact in Koheles as well. A person should remove kas from his heart. That's one of the first things mentioned here in Koheles as well, because kas leads to murder, and that's what it says here. Okay, let's see Rashi. Rashi pasuk Gyud Aleph ne'erva l'adam lishbech adam nitzbina loshon or. These two words mean the same exact thing: to lie in wait, to hide. Nitzbina l'adam l'naki chinam akosav oimer shetzit Pinosam, Shetzfinosam, they're hiding. They're being tsefeya, they're hiding. Shetzfinosam, Lenaki, Chinamhu, this that they're hiding against the innocent man is for Chinamhu, it's for no reason. Chinamhu, he has not committed any crime. And here Shlomo advises to stay away. Let's see, he continues. At least we have to be read together as part of a series. Pasuk Yudbeis says, Nivloim Kishol Chayim, let us swallow up this tzaddik, this naki, in the grave, alive, usminim, kiyardevar, and complete, like one who goes down into a pit. Now Rashi points out that when it says here usminim, normally we associate the word tamimim with the word tzaddik. This past week's parsha, tamim tia im Hashem Elokeichem, you shall be tamim. You shall be complete, wholesome. But that's not what it means here, according to the simple interpretation. Ta means
like an innocent victor.
Right, that's what but that's not what it means over here, according to Rashi. Ta means in one shot, complete, not piecemeal. We're not going to first cut off his legs and bury them, cut off his arms and bury them, then cut off his head. No, we're going to take him in one shot, take the whole body in one shot, because if we do it in one shot, we'll be able to get away with it. And by the way, why is Russia trying to, I mean, we have to really get to the next psuk, and the reason why this Russia is trying to swallow up the tzaddik in one shot is because he wants to steal his money. He wants He wants to fulfill the second category of sin, of lust, of taiva. So one leads into the other. Kas allows one to commit murder, and in turn has personal gain of then possessing his assets. So nivla ein. What? Good question. Tsarchin gadol. Tsarchin gadol ad ma'od. Where does the tzaddik have money from? Okay, nivla aim ki. So let's go over here. Let's see. Take a look at the mitzudos. Mitzudos pasuk yud beis kishol kemo hashol b'tzeah kol haguf. Just like the grave, b'tzeah it swallows. Kol haguf, the entire body in one complete shot, the entire body is buried. You never saw a grave where the head comes out of the grave. You never saw that. We only buried the lower portion of the body. The upper portion of the body is above ground. It doesn't work like that. A grave is something which completely covers the body. Ke nivla hakol, kishahim chayim. So too, the attempt of the Rosh is to swallow up the tzaddik when they're alive in one complete shot, completely, don't leave anything over. Now when it says here, chayim, chayim means let us swallow them up while they have all the money. Because if we're going to wait until they get old, then the government will take away all the money for all the medical services. We have to do it when the person is still healthy and is prime and has all the money in the bank. That's when they're going to swallow him up. Usminim, next words of the Mitzudos. Nivla oisam kishem shleimim. Let's swallow them up when they are shleimim. Bimarbis hahoin. Again, here, Mitzudos learn different than Rashi. We'll see Rashi in one moment. Here when it says smimim means when they are wholesome in their prime, in their wealth. They have not yet spent money on all the various things that come at the end of life. Nivla oisam kishahim shleimim. When they are complete, bimarbe sahon, an abundance of wealth. Uchmo hayari labor, a person who descends into a pit. Shayari bo shalem, a pit is something which has depth. That's what a pit, the connotation that the word bor carries, something which has depth, which allows for the entire body to be. Contained within the whole evara vihihi, it's the same thing as what it said in the beginning of the pasuk, as the sha'ol and the bar. The sha'ol and the bar are exactly the same thing in the pasuk, just poetic repetition. The chafal hadav the nila shenes. Rashi pasuk yibeis nivleim lenikim kishem chayim. Let us swallow up the innocent people when they are alive. Kishol Habolea kol guf sholem. The grave swallows the entire body. Usminim. Here Rashi makes it very clear that it does not mean enoi loshem tzadikim. It's not here to be used the way we are more familiar from the Torah, tamim ti as a tzadik, but instead elam loshem shleimim. What does it mean shleimim? Nivlaim kishehim shleimim. Let us swallow them up when they are complete. Ka'adam hayared b'sech habar shehu sholem. The person's body is complete. Kiloimar. What's the deeper meaning? What is it alluding to? But odom be'osham, while there's wealthy, nahar game, and thus the benefit we will have is v'nirash niskehem, we will possess their assets. Okay, next, now we come to pasuk yudalid. Yeah.
Isn't pasuk yudalid tivus or tivus in the time of Shlomo HaMelech?
We are even worse.
I don't mean to sound very naive, but if somebody comes to me and says, let's do these things, I'd say, wait, let me make a call to Bellevue first and get right back to you. I mean, I don't understand how this could be categorized as a type of.
To take it literally, to murder someone. Okay, you're making a good point that today just a little more sophisticated. Today, I mean, I don't know if you've ever been a victim of crime. Okay, I've been a victim of crime a few times. And I mean, people are out to get you. You gotta watch out. We all know that, right? Today, identity theft, and all these. So it's not only to be taken literally; it's to be taken figuratively. It's of a muscle. It's true. I mean, you're right. You're saying something very good, but I guess it depends on the generation. There definitely have been generations where people are afraid of this to be taken literally. You go to Mexico, right? They say that.
ISIS. Look at ISIS.
Or even in Mexico, the gangs, they say there are certain parts of Mexico that it's very scary. I mean, there are kidnappings, and they're literally trying to fulfill what it says here in this pasuk. And then, Baruch Hashem, there are societies and there are generations where it's not to be taken literally, but there are definitely people out there that are very devious, clever.
Well, like you said before, they're after your money. I mean, that's... The society is after
your mind. Yeah, I think so. I mean, I think there's definitely this truth. Okay, let's see. Pasuk Yud Gimel Kol Hoim Yakar Nimsa. We will find all precious wealth. Nimsa is to be found. This is what the Rosh says to the Tzaddik. Nemalei Vatenu Shalom. We will fill up our homes with the spoils of our success. Pasuk Yud Gimel Mitzudos. Yud Gimel Kol Hoim Nimsa Etzlo. So the word nimsla, according to the mitzvah, is this part of the enticement. It's found. If you'll only come with us, and you will lie in ambush with us, and assist us in killing and murdering this victim, then once he is out of the way, we will enter his property. And in his property, it is to be found. It's nimsa imo hon yakar, precious wealth. Hey nimsa etzlo kol hon yakar. And we will take those assets and we will transfer it cleverly to our bank account. Botenu shalol v'yes botenu nimalei. We have nimalei botenu shalol. We'll fill our homes with shalol asher nikach mimenu. This is part of the enticement. Rashi is silent on this matter. Oh, that's what we're coming to really in the next post. Okay, so you're right away to describing communism, socialism. That's exactly what Pasuk Gedal comes to address. Many people have always asked this question: What type of economic system does the Torah favor? What does the Torah say? What does the Torah view about communism, socialism? What does the Torah say about capitalism? My father was very big into this. My father, Zichron Levracha, he had a lot of chidushim. He said this on this. Torah was very into capitalism, and there are many mekoros. You have Yosef Atzadik. His whole technique is a capitalist. He was an innovator in bringing a new system of economics to Mitzrayim. If you read the Mepharshim, what he tried to do. But you see, it's to some degree, what it says in the next pasuk is a critical pasuk in this understanding. Pasuk Yedalid, Goyrolcha Tapil Besochenu, your role, your lot, you shall cast with us. Okay, now again, on a very simple level, we're dealing over here with a bandit, a bunch of hooligans, and one they're trying to recruit. They need someone, you know, they need some support. They need someone to stand by the road and make sure no one's coming. What? A fall guy? Or someone to operate the drones? Whatever it is. But in the bigger picture, obviously these words are much more profound. They're referring to societies. Goy rolcha tapil b'sechenu. Join us. Join our culture. Join our society. Kis echad. One pocket will be for all of us. Doesn't this sound like communism? Right? Everyone is
fascism,
socialism, pure socialist society. Now, kisechot, redistribution of the wealth. There's one kiss, and we'll all share. And all this pasuk is said by whom? It's said by the murderers.
It doesn't have to be.
It's said. Well, on a very simple level, you can talk about a bunch of hoodlums, right? You go to a gang. A gang, yeah. But it, obviously, there's something much deeper here. It's referring to this approach, an approach where redistribution of wealth, kiss echad, everyone's lot, whatever you do, you cast your lot with us. No person is unique. No person has the opportunity to be better than another person. Everyone.
It's worse than that. We will steal from the guy who has.
Right, that's what I'm saying. This is all being said. This is all being said by whom? By the Ganovim, exactly.
Communism, everyone puts into the pot, and then we share the pot. Okay, they're not saying everyone put into the pot. They're saying, first we'll ambush the guy who has it.
We're going to kill him.
Kill him and take all his money. And then you'll join us and we'll all share.
Well, that's what communism is.
Right, you're still killing people.
That's what it is. Zehu.
They killed everybody who had the money and they took it.
They took it for themselves. And it's not even true. They don't even redistribute. They take it over themselves. And everyone else suffers poverty. Okay, but this is a very powerful pasuk. And if you want to discuss the economic system, the Torah's view of the proper economic system for a society, you can't ignore this pasuk. You can't ignore what it says about the Rishayim, the murderers who are lying in ambush, and they talk so nice, bini, with terms of endearment. They play songs and they propaganda. It's all a bunch of baloney. All of it is all for the purpose of what? At the beginning of the pasuk of L'choytan ne'erva l'dam. The end of the body, end of the day is they're coming to commit murder. That's what it's all about. And it's all said in sweet talk. Garochan tapil b'secheinu kis echad yiyachu lanu, will share the wealth together. Let's look at the mitzvah pasuk gidal garochan v'yosifu l'loymar lach. What else do the rishoyim, do the murderers say to you? In tirtz ata, tapil es, if you want, tapil es hagorol, asher tirtzel levarer l'chol echad chelko. If you want, you can cast the lot in order to select to each person his portion. In other words, you will allow you, you'll be one of us, and you will be one of the administrators who will assist in dividing up the spoils of war. Kiss im tirtz, if you want, if you only want to listen to us. Ye kiss echa l'chulanu, ratzulaymar, noichal v'nishte b'shutfis midmei ha'gzela, we will all eat in partnership from the money that we have taken from other people. Kirashi pasuk yidal garolcha tapil b'sachenu im tirtze, tachlaik, o im tirtze, yihye b'shutfis. So Rashi is saying something a little bit different. If you want, you have a choice. Mitzvahs also seem to say, I didn't really appreciate this when I prepared. Im tirtze yakitz, go back to the mitzvahs. The osifu loymar im tirtze ata tapelas hagorl asher tirtze levar l'chol echad. We'll divide. We'll split, or we'll share. We'll share. Either we'll split or we'll share. I guess different. I'm not familiar with all different types of communism and socialism. There probably are differences. There are differences. Personal property. Is it a shutfis or is it mamish? But or is it equality? Everyone has to have exactly the same amount. You have too much, we'll take away.
Here they're talking about the elites, the ones who really are behind it, and of course
they steal everything for themselves.
The other ones make the girl.
They hide behind that.
One for you and two for me.
So there are two different concepts. The girl means every person has private ownership, but it's equality. If you have $100, I have $100. But it's my $100 is mine. And the second is, there's no private ownership. Everything is shared. That is the kis echol l'chulanu, two different systems. And that's what it says in the Rashi, in the Mitzvahs, in tirtzeh tachleik, if you want, we'll split even. In tirtzeh yeh b'shutfis. Okay, next. B'ni, now he reviews, Shlomo says, B'ni, al telech b'derech itam, do not go on this path. Minna raglucha minisiva sam, I warn you, remove, prevent your feet from traveling on this path. Rat mitzvahs pasuk tes vav b'derech itam, ratzolaymar, b'derech asher itam, asher him holchim ba, don't go on the path that is with them, the path that they are traveling. Shloi tilmad mimasim, you should not learn from their deeds. Minesiva sam, me'aderech shem holchim ba, the path that they are traveling. Poetic repetition, and there is no Rashi. Okay, the Mefarshim point out that there's between a derech and an asif. A derech is a very wide highway, a 6-lane highway. A asif is a little country road. So he's warning, don't go, don't follow their life, their lifestyle, their main approach to life, their hashkaf in life, and don't even follow their minhagim. The nesiv means even the small things. If you're going to even follow, you'll say, I'm not going to follow their derech in life, but there's something good to take from these people. There's something that we can take from their culture and we can apply to our lives. The nesiv. The nesiv is a small little pathway. Even that, stay far away from. Minar raglucha minesiva, some even from that you shall desist. Why? Because pasuk tezvav says ki rag lehem lara yarutsu, because their feet run to do evil, the maharu lishbachtam, and they are swift to spill blood. These people are nothing. Nothing good will come out. These people, the mitzudas David pasuk tes zayin lara yerutzer rotzalaymar im ki lo nikar laayin shaderech hazehu ra. Even though it's not apparent, it's not obvious to the world that this derech is evil. It seems very fine and right. It looks good on paper. Mikol mokam seichav nasam alara. You should know what their goal is. Their goal is ra v'maru lishbachtam kasher tim soyadam, and they will murder when it seems when it's fit for them. When the opportunity arises, then nothing will stop these people. They will even do the worst crime possible. So even though it all appears fine and well, stay far away from these people. Pasuk Rashi says, Lora Yerutsu, Loras Atzmam Him Rotzim, the Einam Yoidim Losseis Levodav. Rashi is saying very profound. They don't even realize that they're destroying themselves. These people are fooling themselves. They sincerely believe that what they're doing is good, but ultimately this approach is going to, they'll eat themselves up. They are going, it's for their own evil, where they're running, and they don't even realize, they don't pay attention of where they're heading. Okay, pasuk yitzayin ki b'chinam, Kichinam mizaro hareshes, be'ene kol bal konof. They disperse of food in the net for nothing. They're wasting their time in front of all winged creatures. Now this means, let's finish the mitzvot, and we'll explain some of the midrashim. Pasuk Yitzayin in the mitzvot, Kichinam ratzolema kamo shenidme be'ene kol bal konof, shalchinam peruso hareshes. Just like it appears to the birds that the net has been spread for nothing. The birds are innocent victims of the net. They don't realize that a net has been spread to capture them. The ein hakavana al halakida, and they don't think that it was there to trap them. Umitoch kach yorid b'soicha le'echol meha zir ro'inim from the sida sherba. And what happens? They are trapped. So here, according to a very simple interpretation, the pasuk was saying that you, my son, are going to be just like these birds. And according to Rashi, it's deeper, that the people themselves don't realize they're going to be trapped in the net. They don't realize that the net has been spread to trap them. And chinam here means they don't pay attention. They don't realize the danger that's lurking out there in following this path of life, and ultimately it's going to trap them and destroy them. Rashi, Kichina Mizura. Oblivious. They're oblivious. Chinam here means oblivious. They're oblivious to the fact that the net's going to trap them. And they come, they take the food, they take, the word mizor means to spread. The reshes is spread. Chinam, they're oblivious to the fact that it's being spread in the eyes of these winged creatures, and they come to take the seeds, they are then trapped. Rashi, ki chinam mizor ha-reshes, ki ha-oifos haros chitim v'kidnios, the birds, when they see kernels of wheat and beans, mizorim al-hareshes, according to Rashi says that the word mizora is not referring to the net. I translated the word mizora in reference to the net. If you go back to the Mitzudos said, okay, notice a very subtle difference between the parish of the Mitzudos and Rashi. According to Mitzudos, the word mizora refers to the net. The net has been spread. According to Rashi, it's the seeds that have been dispersed in the net.
The bait.
The kidneys mizarim al hareshes chinam hu beinayim. They, in their eyes, it's meaningless. There is nothing significant. It's not a warning.
It's free.
She'ena makirim al mahi hi nizeres. They don't realize nothing in this world is for free. It's just a trap to sucker you in order to get you to the yardim bo. They enter va'ichlim and they eat. Like, I work in this business. I work for someone. So what do we do? What does he do? Part of the person's business is opt-ins. Ever go online and they ask you, please give us your email. Ever happened to you? Mm-hmm. Ever happened to you? Go to a website though. It never happened. They ask you, please, we'll give you just give us your email.
Yes.
Do you know how much an email is worth in industry? Email is worth at least a dollar.
Of course, they sell it.
At least a dollar. Some for some industries.
The store says if you give us your email, we'll give you a $5 coupon.
$5, right? So some will even give you more. Why? If we have your email address, we can spam you away for the rest of your life. We'll send you every single day offers, and eventually, statistics have proven that eventually they'll catch some bait. You'll buy something, and they'll make back at least more than what they're willing to pay to acquire email acquisition. It's the most effective form of marketing in the world, much better than anything you can imagine. And again, people are willing to pay a lot of money to get a targeted email. So what do you do to get an email? What do? You give a gift. If you will only give us your email, we'll enter you into a contest where there'll be a $100 gift certificate, or we'll give you a free ebook, or we'll give you some narishkeit. That's the bait. That's the bait to get your email so we can trap you and then we can spam you. Until you get arrested for there are a lot of strict laws today. It's not so simple. A lot of strict laws of how you acquire email address. And it's not so simple. You can just go and chop them. Okay. Harvest them. There used to be software years ago when they first started the internet. There used to be software where you could harvest emails. Basically, bots, programs would just scour the internet and just.
Yeah, whoever sent the mail.
And all those people now sitting in jail. I'm not joking. Very quickly, they enacted laws, and you weren't allowed to do this. And until those people got caught, until they stopped doing it, some of them ended up with some pretty stiff fines. Now it's very serious. All right, but that's what it says over here. That's exactly the pasuk over here. Ki chinam, nothing has changed. Ki chinam azur hareshes. The people, the unsuspecting people, they don't realize that the bait has been set for them in order to trap them to the benichol balkana from all the people, all the creatures that are flying around in this world. And therefore, Shlomo is warning his son, don't be enticed by their derech, their enticement, because they're going to trap you. Now, there's a very beautiful medrash. The medrash says, I'll read you the words, it's a gemara, not as a fact, it's a gemara mesechta sota, on daf lamed ches. And the gemara says, the gemara interprets this pasuk a little bit differently. Amar Rishu ben Levi, minayin shafilu oifas makirim bitzorei ayin. A stingy person, you can tell a mile away. Person who has a stingy, doesn't want to give money if it's stuck, or doesn't want to. A stingy person, pshudikim mashmo, has a reputation and can be detected a mile away, not only by humans, even by the animals. The cats know if you're a stingy person. They look in your garbage, and they right away figure out what goes on in your home. And that's what it says. That let me read the brassa. Afilu the oifos, the birds, makirim bitzori ayin, shenemar this pasuk ki chinam mizoro horeshes beinei kol balkonif. What does that mean? Sheroitzim lignoiv mam nacherim hakosim bedaber kol choin yoko nimso falei mamar ki chinam mizoro horeshes. We're reading through the Gemara. Lchinam heim zorim. These people, lchinam. The interpretation is they're wasting their time by putting bait in the bird trap, in the nets, because stingy people, when their meter carries through, even when they try to trap birds, they say, how much food does the bird need already? How many seeds? One seed is enough, two seeds is enough. So the bird flies over the trap and it sees one seed, two seeds. What a cheapo! It's not kedai for me to swoop down and collect one or two seeds. I might as well go to the neighbor into his garbage. There I'll find a whole collection of seeds. So the balabayas is wasting this person that it said that we're discussing, who's a tsore ayin, has a bad eye. And the proof that he has a bad eye, he's a ganaf. He's not satisfied with that Kadosh Baruch Hu has given. He's always seeking to take away from other people what they have. When he tries to trap a bird, he puts two, three seeds. The pasuk says about him, according to the Gemara, chinam. You're wasting your time. Are you being mizora horeshes? Are you dispersing seeds in the net? Be'enei, in the eyes of the balei kanaf, because they're not going to come into the trap. They're not going to come down because it's not worth it for them, because you're too stingy. And the person may even know, the person may even realize that, but it's not, he's so set in his ways, he can't break his midos even for his own benefit in order to bring in some birds. So we have, I think, Sacha, we have here three interpretations of the word chinam. According to Noah, that's the Mizora. I'm getting confused. Okay, but we have three different halachim in the pasuk. We have wasting this time. It could be oblivious, so it could be it means the difference between the Gemara and both Rashi and the Mitzudos is it means oblivious, or it means he's wasting his time. Okay, now pasuk Yudches sums up this idea. Veheim l'damim ye'eroivu. These people l'damam. Okay, that's a very important word. L'damam, for their blood. That's the Belashon Rabim. They lie in ambush. Pasuk is coming to summarize what is happening here with these evil people. These evil people are trying to recruit people to their club to participate in their blood, crime.
The gang.
Would you call it a blood? You want some blood? No, you make a deal to join the club.
Blood oath.
Blood oath.
You have to prick yourself, and the blood has to touch each other. Yeah. Not in today's day and age, right? Maybe before, disease, yeah, and gangs. Ugh. Who knows what kind of disease?
So you gotta have the tattoo, you gotta fix the blood.
Veheim l'damam ye'arivu. These evil people, they lie in ambush to commit murder. Now, l'damam is b'loshon rabim. Whose blood? That's going to be the topic of discussion. According to the simple interpretation, it means the blood of their victims.
Yeah.
Right? But however, we're going to see in a few moments that the Medrash and the Gemara and the Iran, we'll see on the page, the portion of the page is their own blood. Because eventually, what goes around comes around. If they commit murder, if today they're seeking to murder someone, it's not going to take long until the wheel will turn and someone will come to murder them, both on a practical level and also in hashkafa, mida keneged mida. So what are they really doing when they're lying in ambush to kill someone else? They're lying in ambush to kill themselves.
Because
what? Alma and the Mishnah, this, that, the skull, you murdered someone else, that's why you're floating in the water. And don't worry, the end will be the one that killed you, he'll also be floating in the water. So exactly, when you're lying in ambush to kill someone's, take someone's blood, you're really lying in ambush to take your own blood. L'damam is their own blood, yeah, Revu, they lie in ambush. Yitzpinu l'naf shaysam, they are hiding. Tzafun, they're hiding in order to take their life. So basically, this is repetition. It's pasuk Yudches repetition. What it said before we took them back. Let's see what it says in pasuk Yudches. Veheim avul beemes par se hareshes loy bechinam parsua. They're not those people who are spreading the net. They're not spreading it for no reason. Even though it's not totally for chinam, ki heim ye'ervu l'dmei ha'ofos, they're lying in ambush for the blood of the birds, umastirim atzmam, and they're hiding themselves, l'kachas nafshaysam, to take their lives, the lilkoid, and to trap, the lilkoid, and to trap, they spread it in order to trap. That's what they're planning to do. Okay, pasuk. According to the Mitzudos, the victims are the. You have to be consistent with the parish of the pasuk. According to the Mitzudos, the previous pasuk says that the victims are taken by the bait. They take the bait, and the murderers succeed in capturing their prey. Okay, Rashi pasuk Yud Ches veheim l'damam ye'eroivu vehatzayadim. Ya'arivu l'damam, to the blood shel oifa. So it just is comparing it to the blood of the birds, and we're comparing the same way they're trying to capture the birds, they're also trying to capture and to kill innocent people. Okay, let's see. Okay, again, the Medrash I told you refers to their own blood. It's the Medrash Mishlei. I'll read you what it says here. Veheim l'damam ya'arivu elu tzorei ha'ayin. Okay, these are the stingy people. And she'orvim laharag ashirim v'ligvav mamonam, aval lebasoif. The end is heim atzmam yamusu. The end is they themselves are going to be killed. Ba'avaynam, due to their sins. V'nimsa shelidamam shelohem heim arvu. The Medrash says the translation of the word damma means their own blood. that they're really lying in ambush to take their own lives. Okay. And then when it says Yitzpinu Linafshay Sam, the Medrash interprets this in reference to the Balei Lashon Hara. And the end is, when you speak Lashon Hara about someone else, the truth is you only really end up speaking about yourself. Linafshay Sam, it will turn on you. The evil slander you spread about someone else will boomerang and come upon you. What goes around comes around. Pasuk Yutes. Kain Archos Kol Botzea Botza. So is the way of all those who commit robbery. Okay, the word Betza is profit. And in the context of this pasuk, it means those who try to acquire profit through theft, to gain profit through means that are unethical and illegal, outright illegal. If you look in the Mitzudos Tzion, he translates Botzea Betza. What is the exact translation? Inyan Gezel. What benefit is there to a chonev, to a flatterer, in this that he steals? So this is an expression which means to steal. Okay, so this is the way of all those who steal. Es nefesh balav yikach. So the pasuk summarizes is that when a person wants to steal, when taiva is out of control, it leads to murder. The two are taiva and kas are intertwined, cannot be separated one from another. Person gets caught up in his desires, his taivas to acquire wealth. Nothing will stop him. He'll even commit murder. So is the way of those who commit robbery. They'll even stoop to something so low as nefesh balavikov, will take the life of the owner, the one who owns the property. Let's look at Pasuk Yitess in the Mitzudos. Kenarchos kenaderech shel hagazlan lasos tachbulos. He does tricks. Ulabal yargish mi schemes. Ulabal yargish mi bo lishom mimenu. Who does things that the victim should not be aware of. The achar ze yigzol ha'isher. And then when he succeeds, yigzol ha'isher, he takes the wealth. Gam yikach nefesh bal ha'isher leman lo yivoda. He will even murder his victim so that there should not be a confrontation. It should not be known that he took away the money. Rashi kein orchos kol balik bobotze betza goizel gezela no v'nechmedes hilo. The chinam hilo. So is the way of a person who steals. Goizel gzela, a person who's a ganav, noivacham v'nechmedes hilo. It's pleasant. Rashi here is saying something a little bit different. He's saying that the people, the word orchos has a connotation of pleasantness, and the person like this lifestyle. It's pleasant. There's nothing wrong being part of the mob. It's honorable. It's dignified. This is a way of life. It's a dignified way of life. It's disgusting, but that's what happens. Goizel gezela noe, a person who's a ganef, noe ve'nechnedes hilo. V'chinam hilo. It's nothing to him. He has no conscience of what he has done. Seemingly, Rashi is focusing on the word orchos. It has a connotation of a pleasant way of life. But v'soifoy, and furthermore, es nefesh bolov yikach, nefesh atzmo, shenase achshav, bal hamamon shogazal, mechavor, mechavero. So Rashi here is learning like the Medrash. He's saying nefesh atzmo. But ultimately, what's going to happen is this way of life will result in his own death. Theft leads to a person. The person that will ultimately be punished will die for theft. In the Torah, we have lo tigzol. Right, and Aseres HaDibros is kidnapping. And what is the punishment for kidnapping? Misa.
Yeah.
Misa. So the ultimate form of gezela is, I mean, the Aseres HaDibros. Because you could ask the question, this pasuk here says there's gezela, and according to Rashi is saying, according to the Mitzudos, it means very simply, there's Machlokes Rashi and the Mitzudos. According to the Mitzudos, the person's desire is to steal. And And the pasuk goes on to say nothing will hold him back. Even he'll even be willing to murder to achieve his objective of theft. That's what it means. That's nefesh balav yikach. That's how far he'll go. But according to Rashi, that's not what it means. It means theft is a pleasant way of life for this person, but ultimately his way of life will cost him his life. Now, why do you say that? It's not true. People who steal commit grand larceny. Where do they end up? They don't get on death row. They are in jail. They are imprisoned.
If they're caught,
but they don't. We don't have in halacha or in the civil world. We don't have. There's no death row for murder for.
Yeah. If you're doing a theft,
yeah,
and someone gets killed in the theft,
okay, someone gets killed.
Everyone, even if he's the driver or whatever, the defense or whatever, the whole chayv nisa.
Okay, but here that's not what it says. Here it says kein orchos kol botzei botzei. Here we have a person who's just committing crime, a theft, and yet it says the crime for theft leads to nefesh balav yikach ki chayv nisa. So very simply, you'll tell me because in the process, the Rashi is coming to include. He subsumes within his parish what the Mesudah says. That part of the process of robbery is you're going to eventually kill someone along the way. So mainly you're going to be Chayiv Misa, not for the robbery. You're going to be Chayiv Misa for the murder.
But that's the idea of Ben Sorer Umar.
Well, that's a different idea. Stop him now before. Right now, Ben Sorer did nothing. He didn't even do. What did he do? No, he just took some wine. He stole.
The idea of progression.
So you want to say something more about? Because indeed, he did steal. Ben Sorer actually did steal. He did steal. Okay, but you're saying a good point. But also, look at the Aseres Hadibros. Aseres Hadibros, we have stealing. Who have you stolen? A human being.
That's because there needs to be a progression there, and from most severe to less severe, and that's the only way to explain it.
Okay, so this is something interesting, but we do here see according to Rashi that the punishment for theft is murder. And in the Aseres Hadibros, Ben Sarah Morah, we do indeed find that theft itself itself is deserving of death. That's what Rashi says. Nefesh atzma shenasa achshav balamamon, now that he has become the balamamon, shegozal mechaveroi. Okay, now we come to Pasuk Chav. We'll start Pasuk Chav. Pasuk Chav serves as contrast. Remember what we said before, this parag, these psukim parallel what it says in the first Mizmor in Tehillim. Sur meira v'asei tov. Stay away from evil and do good. The first Mizmor was Asher Ha'ish. How does Tehillim start? David, Shlomo HaMelech. Everything Shlomo HaMelech is saying parallels David. I'm sure you can do. There must be studies done to show how Sefer Mishlei and Sefer Shir HaShirim and Koheles all parallel David's Svar. David wrote Tehillim. David wrote part of. But let's just assume the main Yisrael of Tehillim. And now when Shlomo HaMelech is coming to write, he's coming to elaborate on what David, his father, wrote. David starts off Tehillim, Ashrei ho'ish, asher lo holach batzas reshoim, uvederech hatoim lo omat. Not like the Rasha. Uve Moishav leitzim lo yoshav. But, kiyim, b'taras Hashem chevtzei u'bisarasa yege yoyman v'loyla. So now we've gone through Shlomo HaMelech giving advice, stay far away from the Rishoyim. Stay far away from their derech. Stay far away from their nesiv, their path in life. They're all good for nothings. Now we continue. Instead, Kiyim b'tares Hashem chevtzai, and that's what it says in Pasuk Chaf. Chochmois b'chutz toroina, wisdom cries out in the street. Bar chayvois titein koila, in the town square does chochma give forth its voice. In contrast to the Rasha, who is hiding and is lurking in ambush, he's going back to what we started with today of l'cha itanu ne'erva l'dam. In contrast to lying in ambush to spill blood, nitzpina l'naki chinam, in contrast to being quiet and silent and going in hiding, chachma, talmidei chachamim, people that are versed in Torah, Berchelos. They have nothing to hide. They don't have to go lie in ambush. And they have the ability to go out into the street and in the Bachutz, Taroina, Berchavos, Titein Kola. It is the complete opposite of a lifestyle of murder and of Chatoim.
2 points.
Yeah.
Shlomo HaMelech is coming. You would imagine that the first thing he would tell you is the most important thing, unless you're going to say Achron Achron.
Yes.
So the first thing he warns you about is
murder.
Not so much murder.
Theft.
Murder for the purpose of getting money.
Okay.
The money is the first important
thing.
And what is the solution for the money? You should learn Torah. You should learn Torah. You really don't need money. You should have no taiva for money.
Okay.
That's what he's...
Okay, it's a very good point. And the second point?
And the second point, yeah, is that we're talking something from almost 1,500, 1,700 years ago?
More.
2,000, 2,500 years ago.
Yeah.
So we see that the world has...
Hasn't changed.
The first thing is get the
money.
No matter what you have.
Everything to depends on money. That's everything is... Hakol ha'lech ha'cha ha'mamad. Excellent question. All the commentators ask that question. Why is it Blashon Rab? So one answer is it refers to, it's an expression. All of wisdom. When you want to emphasize something, intensify the value of something, you say Blashon Rab. It's all encompassing. That's one approach. It's a matter of it's an expression. It's yes, chokhma, but we want to chokhma to its exponential power. Chokhmos. It's just nothing more than an expression to emphasize the totality, the all encompassing nature of chokhma. Chokhma incorporates everything that this world has to offer. That's one approach. Another answer.
This is the second half of the puzzle.
Because there are two parts. Well, we have another two parts. Yeah. Blosh Rab. You have to take Pasuk Chav with Pasuk Chafaf, because we have another Pasuk which describes, and Pasuk, there's another Pasuk which continues. Right, so Pasuk Chav really has to also be read together with Pasuk Chafal, but everything is in plural. Another common answer given, maybe the Gros says this, or either the Gros or Rabbeinu Yoina, two of the major commentators, the Gros and Rabbeinu Yoina, they write that one refers to Torah Shebichsav and Torah Shebalpeh. There's two different avenues of Chachma, and both of these things, they come together, they sing Torona, Balashon Yochid, they have to be synthesized. The two forms of Chachma, the Torah Shebichsav is incomplete without Torah Shebalpeh, and Torah Shebalpeh is incomplete without Torah Shebichsav. The two come together and produce a beautiful song. Okay, those are two answers I've seen to that question. Let's see Mitzudos David. Chochmos Bachutz Torona. Chochmos Halei Kol Chochma Meha Chochmos. All Chochma from the category of wisdom. Tachriz Bachutz B'mokim Pirsum. It cries out in a public place. It cries out. What is it? What it cries out? It lets itself be known. That's all Rashi says. Now let's see the Rashi. Chochmos Bachutz Torona Hare. Chochmosecha shel Torah, the wisdom of Torah, bechutzoisecha tis akena. It cries out in public, lehas hiram, lasura lehem, to warn people to turn towards them. Umohen chutzoisecha, what are the chutzoisecha? Bote midrashos. The chutz, Rashi is quoting from a medrash, the chutz refers to the bote midrashos. That's where Chachma calls out. Baruch avos, b'makom shemarchivin oisa. The word Merchava is another word for the Bate Midrashos. It's a place where the Torah is expounded, where it is widened, it is opened up, it is discussed. Shemarchivin Oysa Kach Darash Rebbe Tanchuma. Okay, so then this refers to Torah, and Machutz is the base Medrash. This is where it's expounded upon, and it's again the parallel to the Rishoyim who are lurking and hiding. Okay, let me just conclude with one very nice Medrash. It's a very beautiful Medrash. It's really more of a grammatical drasha. Okay, let me tell you the midrash. I have another sefer here that has different midrashim. This is a fantastic sefer. It's called Mishlei im Divrei Chachomim. I don't know who this person is. I have no idea. From Soy Rav Kook. It's published by who's the Mechaber? Harav Agon of Yaakov Shechter. Zeichet Tzanek Ulkar Shavacha. Okay, Lefanim. I'm not exactly sure who he was. But what he does here is he selects various midrashim. Okay, I have over here a whole page of midrashim, but he just selects two or three. And it's interesting, what a lot of what he selects is not what I have here in the Oitza Midrashim. The Oitza Midrashim also is a selection. It's a pretty big selection. He also has a selection. He only selected here the very, very short.
What appeals to him.
Right. And he, here there's no Beirim. He just has the Midrashim raw. He has a few words of Beir inside the Medrash every so often in the Oitzah Midrashim, but here most of the Sefer is a Beir on the selected Midrashim that he chose. Now what is the Medrash that he chose for this Pasuk? It's a Gemara. What? Yeah, everything aside, all the sources are present. So what is the Medrash he quotes? I'll read you, it's a Gemara. Interesting Gemara. The Gemara says about a story of Shas Hashmat. Okay, let me find it. Time of Shmad. Pam Echad, one time. Gozar Rebbe Shalo Yishnu LaTalmidim Bashuk. It was a time of Shmad. If the government caught, if the Romans caught people learning Torah, they would be executed. So Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi, he went and he made a decree that Torah, it's not worth it to give up your life. It's better stay alive in hiding. Don't learn Torah in public.
This is a Gemara
Moed Katan Av Tezayin. Daf. Mamish, a few days ago. Yatza Rabbi Chia. So Rabbi Chiya went out. Rabbi Chiya did not listen to the decree of Rabbeinu HaKadosh. He went out and he taught to his two Bnei Achav. He taught to his two nephews Bashuk. He taught them. And then the government came and they captured him. They arrested him. And they put him in prison. And along came Rabbi to visit Rabbi Chiya. And he said to him, "What in the world did you do? I told you not to do this." So he said to him, "I'm sorry, it's a pasuk. It's a pasuk in Tanakh that says you're supposed to teach Torah in public." My time of the Sachi, Rebbe said to him, "Why did you do this?" Amalo, Rebbe Chiya said to Rebbe, in jail, he said to him, "Dichsiv, our pasuk we've just learned, Chochmos Bachutz Torona. Chochmos, wisdom, shall be sung out in public." What do you want? It's a pasuk in Mishlei. We just learned it. That's why I learned Torah in public. Amale. So Rebbe said to him, "You're a bad student. Im korisa, if you read the pasuk, lo shanisa, you did not read it a second time. V'im shanisa lo shilasha, you did not read it a third time, because if you would have read it a third time, maybe you would have understood the deep meaning of the pasuk. V'im shilasha lo perishulchan, if you learned it, and if you learned it a third time, and you missed the point, someone, you did not have a Rebbe who explained the proper understanding. The true meaning of the pasuk is chochmos bachutz tarona im kidurava. Like Rava's interpretation, Diyama Rava, Kolo Oisek Batar Bifnim, anyone that learns Torah privately, you learn Torah Bitsnius, and privately, you live Torah privately, Toirosai Machrezes Alav Mibachutz, the Torah will come to your aid, Bachutz. The Torah itself will proclaim your tzaddik to the public world, your fame will spread among the world." There are different interpretations of what this Chachamim Chazal means, but simply it means ultimately they'll find you. Right? You don't have to give a donation to the UJA in order to be found. If you're on a desert island and you pledge to the UJA, they will find you. You don't have to be give a pledge to the UJA. If you learn Torah sincerely, it's magic. Yotza Shmoy ba'olam, Shmoy ha'lech lefanav. The Torah will demand that you receive your proper due and you are well respected. If you learn, that's what it means. But then, therefore, what you've done doesn't mean that you are instructed to go out into the street and teach Torah publicly. Okay, so we have over here a disagreement between Rabbeinu Hakadosh And Rabbi Chi, obviously there's a lot more behind the Gemara, but on just in a grammatical explanation of this pasuk, he cites here what he says, Re'isi, the Divrei Yaakov, the Mechaber of this Sefer Mishlim, Divrei Chachamim, Rabbi Yaakov Shechter, he writes, Re'isi Rayon Hogon al Ze b'sefer Morei Dachya. Have you heard that sefer? It's a popular sefer, Morei Dachya.
It's on the grammar of Rashi.
Oh, right, right. It's a very popular, Al-Rashi, in Bereishis Perigil Pasagil, B'Shem Rabbi Aaron Lisa. Nishmosay Eden. Basically, what he says is that in grammar, when you refer to a guf shlishi, linekeva is exactly the same as guf rish, guf sheni for a zohar. In other words, the example is he, the word savo, sof veis aleph. Savo means come. How, so when you say to about a female, she will come, that's third person. You're not giving her instructions. She's not speaking herself. A person is referring to her, what she will do. That's called third guf shlishi. She, I'm speaking about a woman. Third person. I am speaking about the action of someone else. I'm not speaking to them. I'm not speaking directly. I'm speaking about what they do. He, hey Yud Aleph, she, Savo, she will come. She will come. I'm not talking, she will come. Third person feminine. That form of the word in grammar is identical to the way Guf Sheni, second person masculine. You shall come. Ata savo, you shall come. So here we have the word, though exactly the same. So here that was a disagreement between the two and two. With b'chochmos, b'chutz, torona. So how do you translate the word torona? Torona can mean she, chochmos, wisdom, b'chutz, she shall come. If you want to say it's guf shlishi, feminine, so then the subject of Torona is wisdom. Wisdom is lashon nekeva, chokhma, wisdom. The wisdom will come in the street. And what will she do? The wisdom will arrive and will announce, will proclaim, this Talmud Chacham, this individual, deserves honor, should get world renown, should have fame, because he is a Talmud Chacham. She shall make the announcement. That is what Rabbeinu HaKadosh told Rabbi Chiya is the correct interpretation of the pasuk. Kedarava, Chochmos, Bachutz, Tarona. The subject is Chochma, Lashon Nekeva. She will come to the street and make the announcements. Rabbi Chiya thought, no. When you have a suf in the beginning of a word, it's guf sheni, second person, masculine. You, the man, you, the person, you, the Talmud Chacham, you are the subject of the person, shall pick yourself up, get out of your little hole in the ground, go out into the street, and sing the song of Torah. Chochmos, wisdom, bachutz, torona, you shall sing in the streets. So, grammatically, they're both correct. It's not like you learned it once, learned it a second time, about it. Grammatically, the both, that was the disagreement between Rabbi Chiya and Rebbe, and why Rabbi Chiya felt that the times called to defy. It was Shas Hashmat, but he felt to take the interpretation of the pasuk in its literal chuv sheni in order to be mechazek the oilam. Don't be intimidated by the Romans. Chochmos b'chutz torona, you shall cry. Whereas Rebbeinu HaKadosh felt that at times he felt that his derech in life was times of Shmat lay low, and don't worry, ultimately Torah will survive the test of time. It will one day come out and announce, declare to the world the righteousness of the people who study Torah. Two different hashkafas in life, what to do at times of galus, at times of difficulty, and it's grammatic, it's all parts, and this is one, at least one malach. Alright, we'll stop here.